I'm glad that we have a chance to come together and with other Christians and worship God. Can you imagine just how hard it would be if we were not able to gather here with each other? The encouragement that we get. You know, we face some difficult things in this life, and I'm just grateful that we have the opportunity to come together here and to encourage one another as we worship God. So I'm glad to see you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 is a passage that I've been thinking about a little bit as we continue our sermon series on spirituality. Tonight we're going to talk about choosing to be at home with God as a subject matter, talking about our home and the fact that our home is in heaven. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." While I was working at the power plant, yeah, I've got a lot of power plant stories. I just noticed things, you know. There was a guy there who was the biggest man I've ever seen. His name was Mike Warford. I'm not sure I pronounce his last name right. He's from Kentucky. I'm not sure he pronounces it right. You know what I'm saying? This guy was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. Way up there. I look at his belly button when I'm talking to him. This guy would be 400 pounds, but it wasn't fat. It was muscle. This guy was one talker. He liked to talk. And let me tell you what, that guy loved his home. He might have been in Oklahoma, but he was just tolerating us because he was from Kentucky. And he had to tell us everything about Kentucky, day in and day out. All we'd hear from him, Kentucky this. When I worked at this place, Kentucky, Kentucky, Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky was his home. You've known people like that, haven't you? Have you? Well, old Mike, he was that way. All he could ever talk about was home. You knew, and I know, that someday when Mike gets older, he will be back in Kentucky. Because that's the place his heart is drawing him toward. Well, obviously, I think you can see the spiritual implication. Church heaven is our home. We should be a people longing for home. We should be a people that it's no doubt for the people that are around us. They know where we're from. And they know where we're headed. Do we live that way? Are we homesick for heaven? I hope you are. One of the most basic first steps of spirituality is to understand that this earth simply is not our home. Earth is just a temporary journey for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter on faith, he gets down to the end and he talks about the fact that we are all strangers and exiles on this earth. And if you do a study into the original language, you use the word pilgrims. I like to call people pilgrims sometimes, and they don't have a clue why. But I'm thinking about this verse. A pilgrim is someone on a journey. They're not going to set up camp. They're not going to lay down roots. But you know what? A lot of times, church, don't we like to just put down our roots? Make those everlasting plans for the rest of our lives? Don't we get pretty comfortable in our lives? Maybe a little bit too comfortable sometimes? God placed us here to be strangers, to be pilgrims, to be people that are not putting down roots, but people that are ready to move on a moment's notice. You remember the tabernacle of God? It was not stationary, was it? It was mobile. Do some thinking about that. God doesn't want us to put down permanent and inseparable roots. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Talks about Abraham in the context of faith, and he says, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where it was he was going, but by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. That's just a cool way to say that. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." Is that what we're doing, church? I hope it is. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens, the physical things, will all pass away with the roar of the elements. The earth will be done away with. The only home that's going to matter is the home that you've established in heaven." Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19, "If you've hoped only in this life, you're above all men to be most pitied." You know that worldly people, they put their hopes in the physical, in what they can see, what surrounds them, and the physical nature. Christians are not called to do that. We walk by faith, not by sight. God wants us to have the understanding that heaven is our home, because Revelation 21 and verse 2, it represents the dwelling place of God. It represents also, in the book of Ephesians, it represents that spiritual realm, not the physical. God wants us to desire to be with Him. And we see this desire in Paul's life, particularly in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, when Paul makes this statement that most of you can quote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And some of us shiver at the thought of death. I've seen lots of people on their deathbeds. Some of you have been there and seen that too. And some people get real nervous. They don't know what to expect. Christians don't live that way. Christians really should be confident of what lies on the other side. You know what I'm talking about? To the fact that you could say, like Paul, "To die is gain." Because in death, we shed the external physical body and we embrace the eternity that God had planned for us. He says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. He says, "I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord." How many of you like to go home? Man, isn't it nice when you walk through the door of your house that you know what to expect? You got your favorite chair. Dolores, do you have a favorite chair? No? You don't? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You go home where it's comfortable and cozy, and you know what's happening around there. You feel safe and all of that. Are we anticipating that same thing with God? Point number two. Spirituality inches forward, understanding that heaven is awaiting our arrival. Heaven's waiting on us. John 14, verse 2 and 3, which you hear read many times, particularly at funerals, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places or many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." You ever showed up somewhere and they didn't know you were coming? And you could see it on their face? You know, you knock on the door and people's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were coming." Apparently Dolores has been there, yeah. So, you know what I'm talking about? When you show up and people had not planned on you being there, people had not given any consideration at all in you coming, And somehow when you end up in a place like that, you feel like a third leg. You feel uncomfortable. You feel like you're somewhere where maybe you might not ought to be. Heaven's not that way. Jesus Himself has prepared a place for each and every one of you, and myself too, hope. According to this verse, heaven is a prepared place. It's waiting on me. God is eagerly waiting for me to make my arrival in heaven. Not only God, but as we read through... Where am I at? Hold on, let me find out where I am, because it's 2 Thessalonians, isn't it? There we go. I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't let me get ahead of myself, all right? I'm going to make that point in a minute, so hold off on that point, okay? Spirituality, point number 3, sets the north on our compass as the throne room of God. Our spiritual compass, when we turn it, the north on that compass, the standard for the direction in our lives, is the presence of God in His throne room. Isaiah gives some description to God's presence. In Isaiah chapter 6, the throne room setting, really popular, you remember that? Verses 1 through 3 says this, I want you to think about what it's like to be around the throne of God as I read this. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face. With 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Man, when you think about the presence of God, and when you think about what's happening there in the presence of God, that's the place you want to be. You want to be there. You want to be shouting, "Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is God." Would anyone in here want to miss that? That's our heritage. That's our destination. That's where we're going. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, in John's vision, says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sound and peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Not to be mistaken for a place of fear for the saints of God, but a pretty awesome place that John, this is Dan's opinion 101, so we're going to do a little excerpt here, okay? I believe that John is doing his best through the Spirit of God to describe something we can understand in a heavenly way. I don't know if there's going to be actual streets of gold, is what I'm saying, but that's John's description. I feel that that's the way John is saying, look how glorious God is, and look at what I'm seeing. And you know what, church? I think you can expect more than that. If you're going to heaven looking for gold, you're going to be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? But you will find something much greater there. You will find the presence of God Almighty. Heaven is also the ultimate gathering place of the saints. That's my 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, where Paul's saying, look, don't be worried about the saints who have died before you, okay? Because you're going to be caught up with them in the air. When we get to heaven, we're going to be reunited with folks that have died before us. We're going to meet up with the saints who went on before us. Just in this group, can't you name a few? It'd be nice to see Gigi someday. Wouldn't it be nice to see Vivian and Bill McCracken someday? Mary, for you to see your sister. We can go around this room and we can pick lots and lots of people that it'll be really nice to see someday. But you know what? It's not just going to be about the reunion. We're going to be right there in the presence of God, glorifying Him together with them. Isn't that pretty cool? Church heaven is our home. This earth is not it. Heaven is so grand that it can't really be explained, as I was talking about a while ago. When you move into Revelation chapter 21, John tries in some great ways to explain this heavenly abode that we're headed for. A place that its walls are built out of all kinds of precious materials. Its gates, it has 12 gates, John says. Each gate composed of a single pearl. Any jewelers in here? Can't imagine what that'd be worth, right? But John will say in chapter 21 of Revelation that no light there. And no need for a sun, moon, stars, or an electric company, because God is its light. I'm pretty excited about that. Church, because we live in a world full of darkness. Seems sometimes at every corner we're faced with adversity and darkness surrounds us, and Satan is always trying to get after us. But you know, when I think about my heavenly home, I'm encouraged all the more. The hope of heaven kind of steers our spiritual car, if you will. It steers us toward commitment. It gives us purpose in the face of struggles and trials and tribulations. It calls out the best in all of us. It motivates us in seeking others for the journey of faith. It enriches our worship of God, and it builds a bridge over the river of death. I'm ready to go to heaven. I don't get to make that decision. If I die someday and y'all come to my funeral, don't mourn for me, because I'm going to a better place. I'm not going to hang out and I'm not going to establish myself in this earthly kingdom. I'm not going to make a kingdom for myself, which, you know what, church? Is the American way, isn't it? Set up a kingdom for yourself. Get subjects in your kingdom. Fulfill your wants, your desires. Put down roots. Build houses that's going to last forever. Houses that will speak of your promise and your power and all that you are. And you know what? Christians buy into that garbage sometimes. Church, I want to remind you to let go of the earthly stuff. It doesn't matter. When you lay your head on the pillow tonight, let your dreams be of heaven. Be homesick for heaven. I wondered, in thinking about this, would it change the way we are any if we lived like we were homesick for heaven? I think it would. I hope this encourages you to think about where you're going. Because when you understand where you're going, that will help you figure out how to get there. If I'm going to Wisconsin, I'm not going to go through Tulsa, you see. because it's out of the way. It might be a nice place to stop and visit Blake, right? But it's not the direction I'm going, right? The invitation is yours. It could be that there's someone here this evening who, well, hadn't been living in such a way as befitting of someone that's headed home to be with the Lord. Sometimes we can get sidetracked. We can lose sight of our priorities. If you have a need tonight, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.